devotion, wasn't it? Amazing. Well, for the second portion. Yeah, thank God for the body of Christ. Awesome. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22, if you would. First Samuel chapter 22, and we'll read from verse 1. It says, David therefore departed from Achish. He ran away and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brothers and his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone, notice this, that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, or bitter, or grieved, or incapacitated for whatever reason, gathered themselves unto him. Look at this, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. It's amazing, isn't it? David here is in exile. He's like a fugitive. He's running away from King Saul. And he ends up in Cave Adullam. Now, David in Cave Adullam is a type of Jesus Christ in his rejection. Christ died, shed his blood, he was buried. He rose again, ascended, seated at the right hand of the Father. He's victorious. But on the earth, he is still rejected by men. Isn't it? John chapter 15. The world hates him and he is rejected. So here is David running away from Saul, and he is in his rejection. It is a type of Christ in his rejection. And what is Christ doing then? Manoj beautifully said. He is not trying to become the popular pop star in the world. He, as the head, is forming a body down on the earth. And there gathered unto him those that were in distress, those that were in debt, and those that were discontented. Actually, if we qualify in this category, we are part of the body of Christ. Distress, debt, discontent. We were that way, weren't we? These men were considered of no use by King Saul, because he only went for the choicest people and exploited them for himself, according to 1 Samuel chapter 8. They were considered unfit. They were considered useless. They were considered a liability to the kingdom of Israel. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we have the doctrinal side of this mentioned, in starting at verse 26, where Apostle Paul says something very beautifully. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh." Anybody here wise after the flesh? "Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world." Isn't it amazing? We were like this and we were pulled in, isn't it? We were taken in to himself. "God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world. And the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no flesh should glory in his presence." These men who were in debt, distress, discontented men, they came, and David became a captain over them. And that's a big word there. David, and it was none other than David. he became a captain over them. And then later on, we read what happened to these men. We read something that what happened to these men. That means David's influence over these men made these men a certain way. They turned out to be a certain way because of the kind of influence David had over these men. Right? In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, there are two sets of people resorting to him. One was a group that came to him in Ziklag for Samuel chapter 30. And then there was a group that came to him in Hebron, 2 Samuel chapter 5, after the death of Saul, to make him king over all Israel. And it says in verse 1, now these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men. Meaning, among the men that are mentioned in this chapter, the mighty men, these were among the mighty men. These people were among the mighty men, probably in all cases, these mighty men being head over different groups, over hundreds and over thousands. And so you had these men who were in debt, who were in distress, and who were discontented. And these men are termed in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, 1 as mighty men. Is that amazing? That's precisely what happens in the body of Christ. Verses 1 to 22 is a description of men who came to him at Ziklag. Verses 23 to 40 are a description of him, a group of men. And among them were mighty men who were heading up different things for David, who came to Hebron to make him king over all Israel. Okay? Now, here is mighty men. No, they were not mighty in that sense. In 1 Samuel 22, they were in debt. Now, it's a good time to get into debt and be so close to each other in the body. I feel very connected now with people. Say, hey, I have, like, are you going for a rap? Can I come with you? Like, you know, this season where all the currencies are taken away, but that's okay. Debt, distress, and discontented. Okay, now these men are called, these men turned out to be David's mighty men. And something happened to these men. And these men are described in an interesting way. There are at least three things concerning these men that really stand out in this chapter, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Remember, they were, what was their condition when they came in? When they strolled in into the church, what was their condition? They were in debt, they were distressed, and they were discontented. Now, over a period of time, something happened to them because of David being a captain over them, because of David's influence upon their personal lives. And it says, okay, there are at least three things. The first thing is this. It says they were armed. Isn't that amazing? They were armed with bows and they could use both the right hand and the left hand in throwing stones and in shooting arrows out of a bow. That's amazing. They could use the right hand. Are you a left-hander or a right-hander? They were both handers. And watch out, they could handle us with the right hand and the left hand. They could use both their right hand. This speaks of a very diligent training that they had under David. That happened to them, spiritually speaking, as Manoj beautifully said the premise, in the body of Christ. Isn't it? Then it says in verse 8, it says, these were men of might, or they were mighty men, and they were men fit or trained for the war or for the battle. Wow. Training involves what? That because David was a captain over them, they developed their strength through tremendous discipline. Think about that. Then it says, I love this, same in verse 8, they had the faces like the faces of lions. Think about that. You know, spiritually speaking, when we walked into the church, some of us looked very strange. You know, very unpredictable, very strange. As if the zoo in Banagata got opened and we ran in or something. We were like that. We were all like that because we were in debt, we were distressed, we were discontented. But what happened to them over a period of time? They had the faces of lions. They looked an amazing way. Meaning, this speaks of their understanding of being part of a royalty. They recognized their royal identity about themselves and a kind of confidence that they had because of this. Isn't that what we learn in the body of Christ? Yes. We are part of a kingly company. Christ is our king seated on the throne, isn't he? And we therefore have the faces of lions. Okay. Then it says they were swift as a deer or the roes upon the mountains. They had tremendous fitness about them. Wow. These men were developed in an amazing way, a unique way. Verse 15. Then it says that they were able to put to flight all of them who were in the valleys. Meaning, these people had personal victory over weights and over their besetting sins over a period of time because of the diligent training and care they received from David. They learned to have tremendous personal victory. They were overcomers in terms of their besetting sins. Then in verse 24, something is said about them. And the children of Judah, they bore shield and they bore spear. They knew really how to fight. Shield is on the defensive, spear is on the offensive. They were very tactful and in warfare. They knew what conflict was and they knew how to wage it. Interesting, isn't it? Then it says in verse 32, among the sons of Issachar, these were men who had understanding of the times. And Pastor shared that with us, right? 1 Chronicles 12:32. They had understanding of the times. Discernment. They were men that got groomed and they were raised up in tremendous maturity as to discern the times that they were living in. Verse 33 of Zebulun, okay, you had a group of people that did not have a double heart. Think about how these men got developed. They were stable, right? James chapter 1 verse 8 speaks about that. They were stable. Chapter 12, verse 38. It says, they came to David to Hebron with a perfect heart. They had a perfect heart. Think about this. Years before, what was it? Who am I? Debt, distress, running away, waste, useless. King Saul says, you are no good. Come on. And that's what the world does to us. And we are not wise after the flesh. Thank God for that. Because who receives us into the body of Christ? And what does he make us to be? Right? Then it says they had one heart in verse 38. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 38. They had one heart. Then I like this. These were men of war. They could keep the rank. 1 Chronicles 12 verse 38. Meaning, based on Colossians chapter 2 verse 5, their faith in God was well ordered, systematically arranged, and they were ready at different stages. What come their way? They had a tremendous array or an arrangement for the order of their faith. They knew to keep their rank. Incredible, isn't it? So these men, the first point is these men were developed a certain way. Number two, this great character that these men developed was not because They were watching the sunset and sunrise every day morning. They came to Bible college. This great character they developed was because of David's influence over them. We can say David's personal example, 1 Peter chapter 5, was 1 to 4. Those passages speak about the spirit of pastoring. He was a personal example to them. This character they developed because of David's investment in their lives. This character they developed because of David's training in their lives. They were trained by their David. Is that amazing? It doesn't come by default. It came because of a godly example and a man of God who was an example to them and his personal investment in their lives and the training that they received. And the third point was this. It's a very important point. This great character that they developed, amazingly you will see in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, was consecrated. They consecrated this character that they had to the interest of David, because he knew that was God's plan for the nation. They consecrated it to the interest of David. What did these men want who came to Ziklag and who came to Hebron? They wanted to make David their king, because that was exactly what God had said. I have found a man after my own heart who will be made the king. So they, what was good to them, what they possessed, and all the blessings that they received in the body of Christ, they consecrated it to a greater purpose. They consecrated it to the interest of David. Now, and because of who they were as people, how they were developed was consecrated to a greater purpose than themselves and to the right purpose. It says in verse 40, there was great joy in Israel. A lot of sharing and communing happened. And verse 40 speaks of food. That's why Santosh gets food for us. It's amazing. God bless him for his tea. He will have glorified tea in heaven. You know, because there was great joy in Israel. Because of witnessing something about this. Now, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2 is an amazing verse. It says, God says, I have nourished and brought up my children, but they are competing with me. I have nourished and brought up my children, but they are rebelling against me. We were nourished in the body of Christ, isn't it? These people, they were unthankful. That is mentioned in, my people do not consider, the ox knows the master, ox knows where to go. All these things, but my people do not consider, they do not give heed, and they have, but they were nourished. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6 speaks about the need for us to be nourished in the words of faith. Now, this is a point. What is of profit to us need not necessarily be purposeful in God, or what is of profit to us need not necessarily become purposeful in God, unless that which is of profit to us is consecrated to the interests of God. I'll repeat that again. What becomes of profit to us in the body? Yeah, we are no longer in debt. We are no longer in distress. We are no longer discontented. But what do we have? We are mighty men of valor, right? Learning to use the right hand and the left hand, the shield, the spear. We have the faces of lions. We can put to flight those our enemies in the valleys. We have understanding of the times. We are not of a double heart. We have a perfect heart, one heart. We know to keep the rank. But these things are of profit to us. It is not so that we could consume it upon ourselves, but these things are of profit to us. What is of these things which are of profit to us can only become purposeful in God if it is consecrated to the best interests of God. If it is consecrated to the interests of, and this is practically understood in the context of the body of Christ, isn't it? They had a David and he was a captain over them. We have a greater David in heaven, isn't it? And what happened to us because of being found in the body, which was a great insulation from the wiles of the enemy of the world system. What happened to us as a result of this nourishment and the training and the equipping that happened in the body of Christ, what happened to us because of that can only truly find its purpose if what we benefited by, that benefit which we have in our possession right now, is not squandered away, but it is brought back to God in a total consecration for His higher purpose. And it is in this context that we begin to understand and participate and begin to discern the unity of the body of Christ. And there is joy because of that unity, right? 1 Chronicles 12 verse 40. It is in this context we begin to understand the corporate vision of the ministry. And it is in this context we begin to understand not just my personal calling or what I wish I can do with what I have. No. It is in this context we begin to understand the calling of the ministry. And you know something? When it is brought in consecration, we find great purpose in God, because the mystery of God in this day and age is the local church, is the church, it's the body of Christ. Thank God for the captain we have. We were pulled in and he became a captain over us. And God had his people, men of God after his own heart, that were very instrumental in we being nourished. Imagine 1 Timothy 4:6, being nourished in the words of faith. Isn't that what we hear all the time? We are being nourished, we come, we hear, we are built up, we are being nourished, we are being equipped, we learn to walk by faith, and there is a kind of a training that comes. There is all kinds of healing and restoration and equipping, and things have become very, very profitable to us. And we are a changed person. We are developed in a certain way over a period of time. Now, what do I do with what has been developed in me? Is the key. And if that is brought to the interests of who God is and the calling that He has to the body of Christ that we are called into, that we are made part of, it brings tremendous glory to God. It contributes to the unity, it contributes to the vision of the ministry, and it contributes to our corporate calling as a local church. Amen. And they did that. What they had and how who these men were, not just basically for themselves in a corner somewhere by themselves. What they had were brought within the context of saying, hey, let's make David the king. And they were brought into this incredible unity as a nation because of what they did with what profited them. Amen. This happens in the body of Christ, and this is a real dynamic life that we are called to and what we are called to behold. What we are called to enjoy, but also what we are called to behold and make known. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time, and we just pray, Lord, that you would bless these thoughts. You've made us people with faces of lions. You tell little kids, they will repeat that back to you. That's why I love teaching kids, because they'll do anything that you tell them. Very easy. At least they'll listen to you. Thank God for that. Hey, mighty men of valor. Yeah, discontented, in debt, distressed people brought to a place of learning to use their right hand and their left hand. Taekwondo, from here and from here also. Learning to use both the shield and the spear. Having discernment of the times. Skipping, learning to being equipped enough to run like a deer upon the mountains. Having that spiritual fitness. And thank you, Lord, that you've given us these things, and we recognized how we've been nourished, how we've been brought up. And God, thank you for the instruction you give us in this respect. It is for the corporate unity. It is for that corporate calling, and it's for that vision that you've called us to be part of. We thank you. We praise you. Minister this thought to us, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.